This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
Now, the reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Saturday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the outdoor show this morning. It's Jace, our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales, the Belleville Meat Market, Angler U, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather. Galveston, 82 down on the island this morning. Feels like 90, they say. Today, mix of clouds and sun, high of 87, southeast winds 10 to 20. There's no wind like that right now, but that's the forecast tonight. A few passing clouds, otherwise sunny, clear. Could be sunny with that moon, but low of 81, southeast winds 10 to 15. And then for tomorrow, a few passing clouds, mostly sunny, high of 87, southeast 10 to 20. Pretty much a broken record. Looks like we'll have some kind of weak cool front coming in, I don't know, around next Wednesday, midweek. So maybe that'll deter what this tropical system's going to do to us or to somebody else. Maybe it'll keep it away from us. That'd be nice. Tides today, we have a four-tide schedule. We're sitting on a low right now. These are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We have a high coming up at 5:37 a.m. It's a 1.6, and then a low at 1:14 p.m., an 0.1, and then a high at 9:35 p.m., a 1.9. 7:08 a.m. is sunrise, 7:16 p.m. sunset, our moon phase, 90% behind that full moon. Currently, we looks like we have a south-southeast wind at about 6 at the North Jetty. San Luis Pass looks like 5 miles an hour down there out of the southeast. Eagle Point, it's west at 2. Down around the dike, it's 2 miles an hour. Morgan's Point, southeast at 2. And the old rollover site, south at 3. So pretty much variable around the complex this morning. A little bit more wind down the coast, but overall from Matagorda up this way over towards Sabine, it's dead flat calm. It is. So that's where we're at. If you're going today, good luck. I wish you the best. Catch them up. All right, let's go over to Sabine now and check in with Bill Watkins and see how he's catching them up. Good morning, Bill. How's it going?
Good morning, buddy. I'll tell you, it's been hot.
You think?
Oh, man.
Hey, first day of fall is tomorrow, but it's not going to feel like it.
It feels like it's as hot as August. I mean.
Yeah, it is.
It's just ridiculous. You get behind a group of trees or a ship or something like that, and you'll just melt.
I mean,
very little breeze at all. So it's been, it was intense, but we caught a lot of fish this week.
Well, that's good.
And everybody was catching something.
Sure.
I did have a friend go to the end of the South Jetty day before yesterday, and they caught some real nice trout, 19, 20, 21s.
Oh, cool.
And he said they'd catch like a 12 or 13 incher, and this was on the Texas side, and they said beautiful waters. That produced water they'd seen all year had come up there on the jetty that morning, and they just caught some nice trout. And they caught some they had to turn back, you know, over the 20 inches.
Oversized trout.
Did you ever think of saying that?
Man, we're catching oversized trout over here.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they caught them on the
We'll look back at this and laugh at it and go, man, it was worth it. You know, if we get the result out of it, we're expecting. So I don't want to disappoint anybody. Just, you know, try to be positive and just roll with it for now. We'll know in a couple of years.
Yeah, we will. And I know that a lot of the little fish are getting thrown back. I know it.
I just hope people that are doing it are taking, you know, good precautions of being gentle with them so they do have a chance of making it.
Yeah, I hope so.
And most of the people that, you know, most of your trout fishermen that know trout and have caught them for years, they know how to handle those fish. And flip them over the side and let them flop around on that hot floor and all that, they're gar bait.
Yeah, they are. And you let them dry out, and right now it's intense on the deck of that boat.
Yeah, it's hot.
Their slime coat will dry off like in a few seconds.
Yes.
So,
and that's their protective coating. They have to have that on them to survive.
Slap them on the measuring board and wet it if you can.
Yeah, wet it and cool it down for sure.
And throw it over. Because it'll brand them.
No jacket stick, man. It'll get hot sitting in that sun.
Mm-mm.
I try to keep mine under the hatch, but, man, we've eyeballed so many fish over the years. You know, whether it's a chunker or a keeper, just, you know, chunk it. If it's close, don't even think about it. Just throw it back.
That's true.
It's not like you're not going to throw back out there and get another one.
No, I can just about tell a 16, 17, or
in your sleep.
A 20-inch. My sleep. And, I mean, fishing Louisiana side, I've got a red jacket stick out there. Because if a game warden shows up, that's what he's going to use.
Yeah.
You know. And if it's not obviously over 13 or over 15 on the Texas side, I put them back.
Yes.
You know, it's just not worth it. You know, there's some shrinkage, I guess, if you, you know, especially if you let them lay on the deck for a while.
Yeah, and then box them in ice. They'll draw up a little. Yeah. You know, I've been told by a game warden that they will not, but I beg to differ. I've seen it happen.
I think so too. And if you've got one that's a quarter inch over,
you're good.
You're good if you'll just manipulate him around, stretch him back out, and get him softened back up after the rigor mortis sets in. And you know, usually the game warden will let you do that.
Reverse searing on trout.
Yeah.
Here, give me 5 minutes. Let me thaw this fish out good where I can lay him flat and get him a little mushy so I can get my 15 inches out of him.
Yeah. Okay. But it's, I had a guy throw one in my box the other day that I'm sure was 12 and three quarters.
Uh-oh.
You
got to watch them, man.
Hey, and they don't give a care. They don't realize what the implications of that are.
No, because the box is holding everybody's catch, and that falls on you.
So I'm going, who put this in here?
That's on
you, brother. This fish don't look right. Yeah, slapped it on that measuring stick. Guys, we can't do this. Over the side that one went. Damn. Yeah, it makes me look bad. So I try to explain to them just how to do it. Mouth closed against the angle. Manipulate the tail any way you want to. And then you're good.
Yeah.
Now, Louisiana, we caught Spanish mackerel the other day. And in Louisiana, you measure fork length instead of the length of the tail.
Yeah, you do the right where it forks. That's the length, not the tip of the tail on bottom and top, because I got that forked tail.
So I had to explain that to questioning looks. What?
What's the minimum length on a Spanish Mac? 14?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's 14 on a Mac.
Then it's easy to make a Mac stretch that far, usually. But he wanted to keep him. I think it was about 16 inches.
Yeah.
But, and we kept the thing and huffled him. I said, shoot, that looks like a good piece of meat. Hadn't eaten one in a long time. But
oh, they're not bad.
No, they're all right. You know, especially if you marinate them and on a pine board and then throw away the fish yeah. to heat the board. Not my, it's not, yeah, cedar plank. Not my cup of tea, but, you know, it's, they're okay if you kind of let them marinate them a little bit. They'll taste real good. And some people like those kind of oily tasting fish.
I guess. You know, I'm not into that. I don't like fishy-tasting fish.
No, I don't either. I've eaten some bluefish way back there when we were catching a lot of really nice ones, you know, 3 or 4 pounders. I ate those, and I'm thinking, how do those Yankees eat this?
Well, that's just what I was fixing to say. They're a delicacy on the East Coast. Well, they have the big bluefish run. They go for them.
I don't get it.
They're not as fortunate as us. They don't have all the good tasting species swimming around in their waters like we do.
No. But I did catch, I caught two this week. I caught two bullet nose whiting.
Yeah.
And I actually caught both of them.
That's a
and
good
they were
fish.
Pretty good size. I mean, yeah, they were like about 15 inches, you know, big old camo colors. I mean, and I got downright excited.
Yeah.
And I was wishing I could have taken both of those home and ate it myself.
Yeah, I'd like to have about 10 of those, you know, fillet size and have a fish fry with them. They're good. That, and, well... Don't forget about the old Atlantic croaker. That's another good fish.
Yeah. I actually prefer those over the croaker, which the croaker's good, but, man.
Either one of them, but, yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
They're both excellent table fare.
Yeah, they're pretty white fish. Just beautiful. And they're not the prettiest fish in the world, but they pull good. And, so that's indication I've got good salty water over here.
Yeah.
So they don't travel.
Well, that last storm, you know, that that pumped a lot of water in.
Yes, it did. We got, I think we got it up in the parking lot a little bit there at the landing.
Yes. And, y'all's tides were pretty bowled up, too. So.
Yeah, that was pretty good, but it drained right off. By the next day, it was about 6 inches below the walkway on the top.
We've been kind of, well, I wouldn't call it blessed, but, you know, we had the storm that hit us over here, you know, Matagorda, and we got our big tides out of that. I mean, we got some bull tides, you know, 6-8 foot of surge, and then that last one that went into Louisiana, y'all probably got about 3 feet off of that one. And we got we got a couple of feet off of it for sure. So
that helps. Slid right on by.
That Gulf water is a key to success.
Yes, it is.
Cleaning up the bay.
Yeah, and it actually the tides got high enough that 2 days after that storm, it had a kind of a greenish color to the channel.
Yeah,
and of course the lake was already brown clear, but we got salt water all the way to the, it went all the way to the top of the lake.
Sure it did.
And I tasted of it up there 2 weeks ago, and it was salty.
All right, let me do this break, Bill. Hang on a second. I'll talk some more about this salt water intrusion. I'll be right back at you. All right. Well, you know, folks, if you need pipe, you need valves, fittings, instrumentation, fasteners, or gasket, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. They have a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery. There's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item and you can't wait on long deliveries, our sales team has over 100 years of combined experience and is here to support you from start to finish, whether you have a 24 maintenance project, 24-7 that you're working on, or a ground-up construction. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what we do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let us handle all of your needs, 281-332-6224, or sales at alliedinc.com. That's 281-332-6224, or sales at alliedinc.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 419 here in the Bayou City. All right, Bill, we are back right at you.
All right. I'm right here with you.
We were talking about, all the saltwater influx we had with these storms so far this year, and, boy, it turned things around for me up my way. I just wish more fish would have come with it, but, hey, I'll take what I got. At least I got pretty water.
Well, I think that, Galveston Bay will hold its own somehow. It's a big body of water, and, you know, things change over there. All that channel dredging and stuff they do, it'll cover up some shell beds and things like that.
You ought to see how giant that island is out there in the middle of Trinity Bay. They had two dredges pumping on top of that the other day when I went by it.
Isn't that amazing?
All the way from the channel, that's about, man, I got two stretches of dredge pipe running from the channel over to there, so I don't know, 4 or 5 miles where they're pumping.
Gosh.
Yeah, that island, in that storm, the hurricane we received, it knocked the top off that thing pretty good, and it spread all that spoil way out, and it's made it shallow, because they're pumping that spoil out there in that between Dalles and Beasley's and Lost Reef area, and you know that's 9, 10, 11 feet of water out there, and it's amazing how big that island is. Since the last time I went by it, just overnight it changes. So that one over there off the channel towards East Bay, you know, that one's pretty big too.
First big hurricane comes up there, it'll whittle it down.
Oh, it does. I mean, it's just, you know, that's what the problem was with Ike, with all that contained spoil we had all up and down the channel. Atkinson Island Project and then that, what we call the new island out there around 68 and 72, it breached all those sites and all that silt and contaminants, whatever was in that silt, that all ended up in the bay. Every bit of it.
That's bad news.
It is.
Any way you look at it. I don't know how in the world the ocean and the bay can be as resilient as it can.
Currents. It just cleans itself.
Yeah. And the marsh filters out some of the stuff.
Yeah, and what we really need, what most critical thing is our bay floor. We need more live oysters and clams to filter the water and clean it.
Yep.
And we don't have that. I mean, we lost 2/3 of our bottom. You know, the live part.
And it's never coming back, I don't think.
You know, I did some whale hopping this week. You know, I mean, when it's calm, that's the best thing is fish your structure. And man, there's a bunch of them that don't have any shell on them whatsoever now. I can't get any hard spot marks out of them with my bottom machine because they're so silted over.
Golly.
And that used to be just, it was just a thriving natural thing, you know, live oyster beds yeah. around all those well pads and, you know, the structure itself.
Yeah, boy,
some of those small platforms took a beating. They're all tore up.
25 years ago when I started, there was lots of fish on that shell out there.
Oh, yeah. Know. Well, this was the month forward, August and September.
Yeah, man. That was some good fishing over there.
Yeah, it was.
One of my guests caught a 9.5-pound fish off of, I think it was the Seelys.
Yeah, Seelys has produced some monster trout over the years.
Yeah, that was something, man.
Well, my dad's biggest fish ever was all out of Seelys on Exxon number 2.
Wow. How big was that one?
9-12. He never did bust 10 pounds, all the trout he caught in all those years.
Well, I never have either.
My mom did. I mean, it's just, people don't realize how rare a legitimate 10-pound speckled trout is. That's just a, you know, for up here on the upper coast, that is an old, mature, big fish, man.
Yeah, I was always hoping I'd break that, but it hasn't happened. So close, you know. Every once in a while, I'd get one right at 9 pounds, but just under.
Yeah. but, you know, when you're catching sevens, eights, nines, and, man, you know how good a shape your fishery's in.
And gosh.
Those are big fish. Those are mature fish. They've got a lot of years behind them. You know, a 28-inch trout, on average, that's a 9-year-old fish. You know, a 27's 8 inches, or an eight-year-old fish.
They're approaching the end of their life.
Well, sure they are. They're on the, you know, it's like killing a big old mature buck.
Yep.
You know, harvesting an animal that's, he's done his thing.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It won't be long. We'll be talking about deer. You know, that's, bow season's right around the corner.
Yeah.
It's going to be kind of hot.
I've got a high-fence doe hunt scheduled for October the 5th, I think, 4th and 5th. So,
boy, you starting out early this year, bud.
Well, we go up to Venado Creek in St. Augustine every year.
Right.
And it's a good place to shoot either a whitetail doe, a red hind, or axis.
There you go, at axis meat. That's good stuff.
We go spend the weekend up there and have a good time. That's a really beautiful place. I mean, tall rolling hills covered with pine trees. And I've got 2 or 3 lakes in there. And stopped, you know. That's a neat place. Now, I'm sure all those lakes are full after the rain we've had this year.
Yeah, it's certain parts of the state that got the rain. I mean, a lot of ponds and lakes are full, but there's other areas that are just powder dry, man. But look how big Texas is.
Yeah.
It's like a country.
It's a whole other country.
Texas, isn't Texas bigger than the country of Germany? It's close. Yeah. I mean, that just tells you it's a big state.
Yeah. God bless Texas.
It's got everything.
Yeah, it's
got
great place.
Everything for the outdoorsman.
Yeah, it do. We're proud of it. The only thing it doesn't have is a whole lot of open land hunting. So most of it's privately owned.
Yeah.
But privately owned land gets taken care of better than...
Well, it does.
You know, you have a mix of... Have a mix there that if you don't, you know, people just don't care about public land. Unless somebody stands on them and watches them, they'll trash it.
Yeah.
Just like the launching ramp over on the Louisiana side of the causeway.
Oh, man.
That place gets trashed regularly. And, you know, bank fishermen and FO beer bottles, and, you know, trash just everywhere.
Yeah, we see that on the Tech City Dyke. I think they got a litter barrel every 50 feet, seems like. They got a ton of them lined up down there, and they'll just fish and throw plastic on the ground, beer cans, soda cans, whatever. And all they got to do is walk about 20 feet over there and throw it in a trash can. So you can imagine what their yards look like and their homes. I guess that's just the way they roll.
every once in a while, some hand, it'll get cold, and some bank fisherman will be over there on the Louisiana side, and they'll build a fire on top of the wing wall and burn a hole in it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I've seen that more than once.
Bulkhead burning.
Yeah.
Burn the bulkhead down.
I mean, they'll burn holes in it, you know, but they're out there fishing, so they want to have the fire right close to them, so they put a bunch of, you know, limbs and stuff out there and build a fire on top of it, or charcoal.
Right.
They'll get them a charcoal fire going and get a hole burned in the pier.
Unbelievable.
So somebody comes along, steps in it. you just wouldn't even believe that. But I will tell everybody that it doesn't really matter what color you're throwing right now. If it's a Little John or a K-Wiggler ball tail or a down south lure, and you got a lot of sparkle in it, it doesn't really matter what color it is. They will bite it. So, you know, it's how you fish it that counts.
Yes.
And the fish are holding in 4 to 7 foot of water over mud shell bottom. Live oysters. There's some live oysters in there. And any kind of point that juts out into the channel, the water running over it, just fish on top of it or right off the edge of it, and you pretty well find the fish. That's where they are. Still on summer pattern, wide open.
I'll have to agree with you 100%.
Looks like that's going to change pretty quick, maybe. But
we didn't find
any
magic color the other day. Everything worked.
We threw the purple demon, the white tail, and a plum with a white tail, with a yellow tail, and a Little John had that, I forget what color they call it. It's got a lot of red sparkle, and it's kind of milky white on one side. And got different colors of flake in it. And that one, as long as it has a yellow tail and dirtier water, it's going to catch. Or a white tail, it doesn't matter.
So
or
true.
You can use just plain white with sparkles.
Yeah.
Or pearl white.
Yeah.
That reflects a lot of light.
Or the night glow, the bone looking one with a chartreuse tail.
Oh, yeah.
They all work. Yes, sir.
Yes. They
all right,
work.
Buddy. Well, hey, man, you have a good weekend, and somebody wants to call you about coming over and hooking up and doing a little fishing with you, Bill. How do they get a hold of you? Give them some info.
409-673-9211.
All right,
that'll
buddy.
Get you there.
You have a good one, and I'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your weekend, brother.
All right, brother. Will do.
Thanks, Bill. See you, man. All right, that's Captain Bill Watkins over at Sabine Lake. And I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. What a great place to shop for all your grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And with bow season right around the corner, their processing facility's fixing to get real busy this time of year. And one thing about it, they're open year-round, their processing facility is. And check out their meat market. They have a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. They serve that Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. They have bulk pricing available on fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. Homemade hamburger patties and hot dogs are available for all of your cookout needs. And if you're looking to have a quarter or a half calf processed, You can pre-order that for custom processing. That's available also. And their wild game processing facility, that's open all year round. Just give Brandon a call, and whether you're bringing in exotics, wild pigs, or whitetail deer, they got you covered. The Belleville celebrating over 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:38 here in Bayou City. All right, let's run up to Lake Conroe. Let's check in with our good friend, the fish dude, old Richard Tosh. Hey, Richard, what's going on this morning, buddy?
Not a lot, Mickey. How you doing this morning?
Oh, man. Just popping out of the woodwork, brother.
I hear you. It's still, man, I'll tell you what, that wind needs to blow a little bit. Good night, I tell you what.
Hey,
starting
2 months ago, we were whining about the wind, and now we're begging for wind. We can't,
I hear you.
We can't get it right. Nothing's ever perfect, is it?
No, it's never going to be either. I mean, like right now, I'm sitting here 75 degrees, and ain't a speck of wind blowing at all. And it's, you know, that's what's crazy. You get like yesterday, we were out, and we did went bass fishing most of the morning. That wind would stop, and I said, we got to find some wind, because, I mean, once it stops and it's heated up, you just got to dripping in sweat. It's like, goodness. You know, it's supposed to be into late September now, and it's still hot as a firecracker. But
first day of fall is tomorrow.
I know. It ain't going to feel like it, though.
No, it's not.
Part.
Nope.
No, not at all. But I'll tell you what, there's plenty of birds flying. I've been noticing that a lot. There's a whole fistful of birds flying and stuff, so... I've been noticing a lot more teal this year. You know, I've not talked to any hunters that have been out there doing any teal hunting or anything, but man, from what I've been seeing, they ought to be doing pretty good. But
well, you got that next push coming through you that'll come to the coast here.
It's
spotty. You know, the marsh is kind of, it's not as reliable as you'd think. The high ground guys are doing way better, you know, hunting flooded rice and flooded grass fields and all that, you know, with fresh water.
Yeah.
But I've seen some good hunts. I hadn't got to be on one yet. Mine fell through for this week. It slowed up where I was going to hunt, and they decided not to hunt it, so I went fishing.
Yeah, hey, that's the way to do it. If you can't go hunting, you might as well go fishing. But while we're kind of talking about hunting, I noticed yesterday, and, you know, a lot of people that know me know when I first started fishing and stuff, I used to try to emulate two different people, Hank Parker and Larry Nixon, as far as bass
That's
fishing was
a couple
concerned.
Of good ones.
And a lot, yeah, well, you know, a lot of people don't realize why I did that. You know, Hank was the best at just kind of diversity. He could fish anywhere, anytime, and catch fish. No matter what. Now, Larry Nixon, he was one of the best at patterning fish. You know, when he'd get on the water, he could have a pattern figured out in no time, you know. And that's, with forward-facing sonar and stuff like that, a lot of people don't rely on that type of stuff anymore. But those patterns still exist. You know, they'll get on an underwater point. They'll get on a straight log. They'll do, you know, just different things. They'll do different things. But the reason I'm kind of talking about it is, Hank took a fall yesterday putting up a climbing stand, so he ended up getting lifelighted to the hospital and stuff.
No way.
Yeah, buddy. So, you know, everybody that's out there getting
good.
Their deer stands, no, you know, they did a follow-up video of him talking about it, and he said he was putting his ladder stand up, and he was on the last strap, and he was up at the top of it. And the strap broke, and he fell out and went tumbling down the hill. Said he thought he broke his back and all kinds of stuff, but he just more bruised up and banged up and stuff like that. But, you know, the reason being is the reason I'm talking about it is because I know people out there doing the same things. So be careful out there. Don't get yourself in a position where you're off in the woods by yourself and can't get to a phone or something, because apparently he was able to get to his phone or whatever, because they lifelighted him out of the woods. I mean, that's how bad it was, or how bad he thought it was. So, just everybody that's out there getting set up and ready to go, make sure you got everything there just in case something does happen, you know. And if, you know, he was preaching in the hospital when he was laying on that gurney. He was sitting there preaching about the safety harnesses and stuff like that, you know. So it's and Hank's, you know, he's not a young fellow anymore. Neither are we. We're getting there. So it's when you take a fall like that, it hurts really bad. So just everybody out there, be careful whenever you're setting up all your hunting stuff and everything. That's like I said, that's kind of the reason why I brought it up. You know, it's because if he took a fall like that after all the years that he's been doing what he's doing as far as hunting and fishing and things like that, it can happen to anybody. You know, I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah, when you're older, man, it's just the wise thing is stay out of them tree stands. Just, you know,
Yeah.
Because it's a straight up climb. I'm, you know, and everybody usually has all their safety harnesses and everything. But when you're putting one up like that, you're not, you don't have it secured yet. And that's highly dangerous. Have people with you.
That's exactly right. That's, you know, that's the thing, you know, because as we get older, we break. We don't bend like we used to.
No.
You know, that's the thing. When you're younger, you bend a lot more than you do when you get older. As you get older, you just tend to break stuff. So you just got to be really, really careful out there because, I mean, it's not any fun when you take a tumble like that. You know, and I know Hank's a big bow hunter anyway, so that's one of the things, so. And I mean,
that's a shame.
It is, but, you know, for the last word I got on him, and you know, it's all on Facebook. Just go to his Hank Parker's webpage, and he'd tell you, you know, he's fine. He just bruised up and banged up. Says he was talking about the only thing that don't hurt on him is his hair. So it's you know, and that's the thing that's about the truth. You know, that's the only thing you can't feel when you get older because everything hurts no matter what. But no, it's all good. But get back on this fishing and stuff today. I think we're just going straight up head for the catfish, especially with this dying wind not blowing. You know, just get out there, get on them, and hammer on them as quickly as we can, and get as many as we can before it gets too dang hot. Because like I say, yesterday we was out there bass fishing and stuff, and I mean we caught a few small ones. Never did get any big ones, you know, stuff that was, you know, pound and a half, not even 2 pounds. And then we hit this one little spot where I'd been running across some bass every once in a while. It's just a long tapering point that drops off into the main river channel. It's got a few stumps, a few brush piles that people put up there, kind of just throwing around, and I threw a crankbait a little bit through. Yeah, you know, had one of the guys throwing a drop shot, had another one just randomly throwing different stuff. You know, he went throwing a one ounce spinner bait there for a little while. And I told him, just throw it out there and slow roll it, just bring it in, and they'll, you know, if they're out there, they'll hit it. You know, it's just one of those things. And the drop shot seemed to be working the best. We used that little PNV that Bass Assassin made. Mm-hmm. For like Ned rigging and stuff like that more than anything. But I had it on a drop shot. I've been doing really good with it on a drop shot. So that's what we did. And ended up catching every one of the bass except for two, I think, came on that drop shot rig. And I caught a couple of them on a crankbait. But then ended up catching dang old hybrid on that drop shot. So it was something else, you know, because the fellow that had him, he wasn't a big time fisherman, right? He, matter of fact, I don't think he fished very much at all. And he kept, you know, he went to jerking on that thing and reeling and jerking and raising his rod way up above his head while he's reeling. I'm going, settle down, just keep some good tension on him and just go to reeling. Cause you got to remember, you got light line. Cause what I do is I always tie my braid, I'll tie a 4-carbon leader to that braided line that I'm using, because on spinning reels that I use, typically I've got about 20-pound braided line on there, and then I'll take and tie like anywhere from an 8 to a 10-pound 4-carbon leader on that. So whenever you're doing that, you got to realize, hey, you got whale rope on one end, and you got that fragile hair on the other, right? So
oh, yeah.
you gotta you got to keep it in mind that you got to take it easy and make sure your drag set right and stuff like that. Now, a lot of people with a spinning reel will backwind on them and stuff like that, but you got to know what you're doing. I mean, you can't just jump in the spinning reel and start flipping levers and backwinding on them, or you'll end up with a backlash to that thing, and then you end up losing the fish anyway. But, you know, that's like with a bait caster, a lot of people free spool them, you know, just mash your thumb bar and let them pull a line on you and stuff like that. When you get the bigger fish, a lot of times people will do that. But me, I typically just stick with my drag. You know, I trust my drag systems on my reels, and they're nice and smooth, and I just get it adjusted.
Yeah, these reels nowadays, the drag systems are incredible. It's not like
they really are.
When we had to push a button in and thumb them, because your thumb was smoother than, you know, the drag system you were using. All right, Richard, I got to roll, buddy. Hey, if somebody wants to give you a call about coming up, man, give them some info how they can get a hold of you, bud.
All right, Mick, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dude's Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
All right, my friend. Richard, have a good day. Stay cool if that's possible.
Sir.
All right, brother.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have fun.
We're going to do it. See you, man. All right, that's the Fish Dude on Conroe. Let's run down to Matagorda and check in with Captain Charlie Paradowski. Charlie P., good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm fine. How are you?
I couldn't be better. It's all good.
I say fine. I'll tell you, I had a customer slam a hardhead into my leg yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
I forgot how much that hurt, but...
You think? I had a gaff top in my hand Tuesday. Popped me good with a side fin when I was flipping him off with the pliers, and I can only imagine how bad that hardhead felt. They're worse.
Well, you know, I was wearing long pants. It went through the pants, through a sock. Probably went in a half inch or more, and, it bled for a while, and it quit. And I wake up at 2:30 this morning, and there's blood just shooting out of that hole.
What?
Yeah. So I had to get up and wrap it. I don't know what the deal is. I guess it's better to have the blood coming out than...
Yeah, that's what I do, is I'll keep squeezing it and make it bleed as much as possible, and then I'll get under my front seat and get a bottle of Clorox Cleanup and spray it on there that, you know, it's got Clorox in it, and kill that bacteria if there's any. And then when I get home, I just put a Band-Aid with a big old glob of Neosporin under it, and just let that sit, and then it's not sore the next day. You know, that Neosporin.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I did before I went to bed. I put Neosporin on it, put a Band-Aid on it, and but I take blood thinners, so that's got something to do with all that blood coming out. I don't know, but it'll be okay. I'll watch it, but it's been a long time. I'm so careful watching people because I do take blood
thinners. I know.
He caught me off guard.
Man, what, did he flip it in the boat and it got you or what?
No. I had my head. He had one on a hook and jerked it, and it came into the boat right into my leg.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. When he jerked it in, that's when it went into you. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just grabbed it and pulled it out real quick. But anyway, you know, you do this stuff long enough, all that kind of stuff happens all the time. It's just been a while for me. We were running a group out of Binks Lodge yesterday. We got to do it again today. And all these guys are drifters. And I waited Wednesday and Thursday, and it seems to be there's more fish on the shorelines now than in the middle of the bay.
Well, it's getting that time, you know, where we get the little flip-flop deal working.
Yeah. I'll guarantee you, Thursday we caught 100 trout, and very few under 15 inches.
Dang, that's good.
And, I mean, all good 17 to 19-inch fish, and, you know, releasing a 24 to 25 every now and then, but... It's encouraging. You know, that's about the eighth different place that I've found those fish like that in the past 2 weeks. So we got a lot of fish. But yesterday was dead calm out there, and you just can't drift in that stuff and do much. That breeze didn't come up a little bit till about 10, and, you know, they all caught a bunch of fish and made everybody happy. I'm hoping we get a little bit of a breeze this morning. I don't know whether we do or not.
Not much, buddy. It's kind of starting
not much.
Yesterday morning. It's I think I saw a 3 mile an hour at the harbor when I was doing the forecast this morning, and our highest wind this morning is the north jetty, and it was like southeast at 6. Up in the bay, it's like 2 and 3, which is good, you know. Get them
at least
when before it gets real, real hot.
Yeah, and it does do that.
You know, the heat's not bad if you got some wind, but it just gets putrid.
And then when the wind does come up, at least it's coming up out of the southeast.
Yeah.
You know, you got this big old full moon, and the best fishing probably in the middle of the day, you know, 12 to 3, and most everybody's off the water by then. You know, at least we got a bag full of fish. We got a bunch of fish around here. They're bouncing back pretty quick.
That's good to hear.
I think this fall is going to be exceptional.
Slide over there and fish with you or Tommy this fall just to catch up.
We'll just have to do it.
We all need to
get
together. We're getting old, and we may not be here much longer. Everybody needs to get together and do it up.
You wait till Blaine gets through with what he's doing, and then we'll get on it.
Yeah. Well, you're going to wait on Blaine to get through doing anything.
Yeah,
that
guy's right.
He's high speed, low drag, buddy.
How's he doing on the dove hunting?
They're doing good. They're whacking.
Man, they got to be a bunch of dove down south because we're not seeing them around here like we normally do.
He lost all his young birds with that north wind. We pulled that little norther, but he had so many it didn't. You could lose half of them and still have a ton of them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the teal hunting slowed up for a bunch of them, too.
Yeah, it's gotten spotty. And we need a weather change. I mean, it is, you know, it's summer.
Yeah.
Summer is back.
And it is hot out there. But
well, watch your leg, brother.
Keep
an eye on that wound. Make sure you don't get a red streak or anything around it.
Don't think I don't watch it, but...
You ain't no
we'll fish
today,
and I got
anymore.
A couple of days off. Huh?
You're not a spring chicken anymore, Charlie.
Oh, yeah, I'm still young.
You try to act like it, but I know. But watch your six, brother.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, somebody wants to come over and fish with you, give them a number so they can get a hold of you.
Call me on my cell phone, 713-725-2401.
All right, tell Bink and the boys hello for me. We'll see you, man.
Take care, Mickey.
Thanks, Charlie. Take care.
Yes, sir.
All right, that's Charlie P. over in Matagorda. It's time for our top of the hour break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.